Hey, everybody, you know what time it is. It is party time, Mom. Welcome to another episode of the Chad Prather Show here in Studio 22. We got a good one lined up for you today. Can't wait to get into it. First, I want to remind everybody, go to watchchad.com. Check us out. Go find us out on the road all across the country on tour. Get tickets. Buy the tickets. We're not comping tickets. We're capitalists. We're in this thing to make money, okay? Also, I want you to go over. You're watching this on Facebook. I know you are. Go away from Facebook. Go over to YouTube. Watch it on YouTube or go where podcasts are delivered and listen there because we like to be able to count numbers. We love analytics. Remember what I said about being a capitalist? We like that. We like to be able to show our sponsors that they need to pay us more money. Hi. I'm in business. Over in the peanut gallery, you got Party Foul Steve and the man that I'm going to introduce you to here in a second, Keith Malinak. What's up, buddy? You are a brute on Twitter.
A brute?
A brute. I love it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're a Twitter gladiator. Okay. Is what you are. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute. I also want to remind everybody to go over to blazetv.com/humor. Use promo code Chad. Sign up so you can get episodes of Humor Me every single week. We've now moved from Wednesday night premiering to Thursday in the afternoon. So we're practically daytime television now. We're days of our lives. Over here driving this starship, which is Studio 22, the puppet master himself, Mark. What's up, buddy?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic.
Good.
My favorite place to be right here with you.
Well, you know, it's my favorite spot to be at,
too. You don't have to lie to kick it. Aww. You don't have to lie.
You know?
But it is a warm, cozy feeling.
It is. It makes me feel a little better when I say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sitting over here in the corner, the bright spot of my life, even though my wife is sitting across the studio staring at me with blank eyes like she's dead inside. Candice, the queen of the Ethiopians.
Hi.
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 How are you?
Good.
You're wearing open-toed shoes today.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. We won't talk about it. I was going to give you a Natalie hard time.
I know what I've done wrong, and I want to say I will be making wiser decisions in the future.
You make me laugh. Every time I watch this podcast or listen to this podcast back, I got to quit laughing. I have an obnoxious laugh. I'm just going to start being deadpan, no humor here, okay? Don't make me laugh, Candace.
Okay, I'll try not to. But
Candice.
You should love yourself and your laugh, okay?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm trying to love myself.
Positivity here.
Yeah, I believe that. I feel every day in every way, I'm getting better.
I'm better.
I tell myself that in the mirror. Sitting in the hot seat today, the legend, the man himself, Pat Gray of Pat Gray Unleashed. Hey, Pat.
Hey.
First things first, you just had surgery. How you feeling?
Good. Yeah. Good. At least where I had the surgery. I still have a lower back situation that I got to deal with one day, but the upper back thing is taken care of now.
What'd they do to you? What'd they remove?
They removed two discs and did a fusion. So got a plate and a couple of screws in there and tightened things up and got rid of what was pinching the nerve.
Did it make you shorter?
By about 4 inches.
Are you serious?
Yeah. No.
No man ever wants to admit that. No man
he
ever
had
wants
an extremely
to.
Long neck. Yeah.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah, that would be a lot.
Yeah.
That would be a problem.
But the amazing thing, Candace and I, we grabbed lunch the other day and had a meeting, and we were talking. It was the day you came back. Mm. And I was like, what in the heck is he doing back so soon? I mean, you're a trooper, man.
I wanted to come back, like, I had the surgery on Friday. I wanted to be back on Monday. They wouldn't let me come back. But I'm glad, because it turned out when I did come back, it was too soon. And I was thinking the same thing you were. What the hell am I doing back?
Right.
I shouldn't be back. But yeah, it's not that bad a surgery in the upper neck area, in the upper back neck area, much easier than the lower back.
Yeah.
So
that's brutal.
Yeah.
Like I get pinched nerves in the middle of my back. And when it does, it's just incapacitating. I mean, you're just out, you know?
It's
and
miserable.
So I can feel my back. Like, I don't have a back problem. I have a front problem. I need to lose weight. So that's the issue. You just get that weak back. And so I can feel mine right now. I'm being very careful in the recent days because it feels like it's going to kink up at any given time.
Yeah.
I hate that feeling.
Yeah, I do too.
But I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm going to keep eating fast food and, you know, living large.
That's kind of my philosophy too. Just ignore it. Just keep going.
I mean, the world's going to end in 12 years anyway.
Exactly.
We might be down to 11 and a half at this point if AOC has her way. But I want to talk about some of that stuff. But you, Pat Gray Unleashed, everybody, of course, the morning show. I don't know. First of all, I say this to everybody that does a morning show. I don't know how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard.
Well, I do it. The way I do it is every day I think, okay, this is the last time I can do this. I can't do this another day. And I just get through that day. And then the next morning, hopefully, I think the same thing.
Yeah.
That's the only, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning is just ridiculous. You never get used to it.
Yeah. We were doing the news and why it matters one day. And I looked at Glenn Beck, and I said, at what point in time did you get tired of talking? And he goes, around 85.
Which is kind of a problem.
It is. Yeah. It is. But he hung in there.
He did.
40 more years, he hung in there.
He did.
But, you know, do you ever get that way? I mean, do you honestly get that way where you're like, yeah, I just have nothing else to say?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's why we have Keith, because then he just starts babbling. I don't even know what he's talking about half the time, but it doesn't matter because I'm just sick of talking.
So. I understand.
I don't know what I'm saying half the time.
Hey, listen, let me tell you, Keith, and what I said earlier about you just being a Twitter warlord, like, how many times do you change your handle on Twitter? Because I know your at stays the same, but you're always changing your...
No, not that often.
Oh, you're lying.
Every few months, maybe?
I will just say that, and I want, Pat, I want your take on this. What do you think of this whole dumpster fire, which is social media, specifically like Twitter?
I hate it.
I do, too.
I just hate it. I want no part of it.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, they call me Mr. Twitter because of my proliferation on Twitter. No, I hate it. I think I've tweeted literally... I'm going to tell you a secret and those who watch this podcast. I've tweeted once of my own actual tweeting.
Yeah.
Keith tweets in my name.
Keith does it.
But I think I've done one tweet.
Yeah.
Now, people were very excited when you were out with your surgery that I was transcribing texts from you.
Yeah. He actually transcribed a couple of tweets. So
under anesthesia.
I'm actually responsible for about 4 tweets in my lifetime. Yeah. And then, you know, as for Facebook, when they changed the algorithm, I was like, okay, I'm done. I don't even look at it.
Yeah. It's a hard deal.
It is.
I mean, you know, these days, you know, coming from the perspective of not only promoting podcasts and shows and stuff, but doing comedy out on the road, it's hard because if you don't have a social media presence these days, you almost can't have a career.
Right.
So you have to stay relevant in that regard. And it is a 7-day-a-week job for me. I've just recently recruited a little bit of help myself on that, but it's still all my stuff for the most part. But I get sick of it. It's a dumpster fire. That's why when Keith jumps on there and comes to my defense every now and then, I like it.
Oh, do I?
Yes, sometimes.
Sometimes.
You can do it more.
Okay, I'll think about it. You know, make better arguments. And
Twitter makes me despise the left. It makes me despise the right, honestly. But I mean, it's like it just really brings out the worst in people. It's like a downward spiral of civilization.
It is. I don't know if we've survived the Twitter generation. It's gotten so much nastier. It's gotten, I don't know, nastier to the 10th power probably since pre-Twitter days.
Yeah.
Because people can tweet, say anything they want, and they can do it anonymously. And there's no consequences as a rule, at least for those on the left. And so that's why I think that's how things have... gone downhill, down the drain so badly as far as getting along with each other in this country.
Yeah, it's ruined relationships because we don't have community anymore. You know,
right.
You hit a button, garage door comes up, you drive the car in, garage door goes down, then you get online and you argue with somebody about politics from 7 states away and think you're doing good. Because look, I love debate. Mm-hmm. I love good discussion. And I've always said when it comes to my convictions, I believe what I believe. And if you have a differing opinion, well, it'll either strengthen the convictions I have or it'll help me change my mind.
Right.
And I'm okay with that because I would like to be more accurate in that regard. But I think that we've given everybody a voice. You know, it used to be we only had the voices of the prophets and the priests and the kings and the philosophers and the poets, and we kept that for posterity. These days, everybody has a voice. The problem is we don't have the responsibility with that voice. When it comes to things like the media, when it comes to doing talk and doing opinion and that, where are we? Where are we going? Does it even matter anymore? When you think about this whole fake news phenomena versus... you know, the things that you do on, what that Glenn does, all these things where we're given basically our own opinion and analysis of what we see in the news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's a double-edged sword because, like you said, everybody does have a voice. That could be a really good thing if everybody used it responsibly. If, you know, because there was a time when if you had an opinion and you didn't have a radio show or a TV show, there was no way you could share that opinion with anybody. Now you've got Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, and you can start a podcast if you want to. From that aspect, it's a really good thing, but we've been so irresponsible with it, and we don't have to answer to anyone about it.
Yeah. Keith, how long have you guys been together?
Oh, boy. Pat and I worked for 2.5 years in Houston, like 2001 to 2003, right in there.
Y'all are like an old married couple.
There you go.
Kind of.
And then we got back together, with
2009,
Glenn.
2009, when you came to work again for Glenn, and I was there. So from
you guys are like the Beatles.
Yeah. Yeah.
You broke up.
And got back together. And then it's been what on the show? Maybe
2 years.
It's going on 3 years, I think, isn't it?
September of 17?
No, in September it'll be 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, you still like working with Pat?
Yeah, I mean.
No, we hate each other.
You hate each other. Yeah, I understand. Well, I
mean, terrible. Honestly. Are the mics on?
I understand. I was with John Rich. We were in his car from Big and Rich. And I asked him, I said, how have you and Kenny, Big Kenny, stayed together as a band for 20 years? And he goes, it's like being married for 20 years. And I said, yeah, but you can't. I use a stronger word. I said, but you can't sex it out. You know what I'm saying? He goes, well, that's a true point. I said, because with my wife, we can make up a whole different way than I hope you and Kenny do. So,
I think the way that we stay together is that he never invites me over to his house.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, there's just no way to get to my house from where he lives.
Right.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Right. I wish there were, but there's just not.
Sad, right?
I don't know. They built a lot of roads in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, just not roads from his house to mine.
Like, I'm willing to take the long way. I just need the address.
Please let me come over. This is a cry for help.
Right?
Thank Look you. At this guy. He's a cry.
Thank you.
I mean, listen, Keith, we'll set up a counseling hotline. We'll get you some help.
Appreciate
we'll
it.
Get you some help.
I'll just stay with this.
Just keep drinking.
Keep drinking.
Got
We're
two
good.
Bottles of hooch over there. It's party time, Mom. Listen, we got a...
intervention time.
I like making Glenn uncomfortable by going, hey, tell me about your bunker. So you're not at that point, are you?
No.
You're not hiding underground, are you?
Not hiding
just
underground.
Just for me.
Yeah.
No.
We had a guy in here. Oh, gosh. What was his name? From
Gary Lynch was the representative.
No.
From Rising Ass Bunkers.
No, we had the owner in here. Yeah. What's his name? Gary Lynch. So anyway, so that's what they do. These people are in say, the Silicon Valley. They're hiring him. He's down in South
Murchison.
Dallas, right?
Yeah, Murchison.
Murchison. He's building these bunkers. And, I mean, they're well-made bunkers. I mean, they go from anywhere from $40,000 to
$8 million.
Nice
luxury ones?
Yeah. Like, you get a six-car garage in some of them with an elevator in the whole thing, a bowling alley.
Yeah, some of them are really incredible.
Yeah. But this guy, these people in Silicon Valley are buying, they're having to buy these visas in New Zealand for $3 million just to get the visa to be able to buy property there and be able to have a residence there. A residence visa, and then they're putting these bunkers in case it's the end of the world, Armageddon hits. And I don't know how you're going to get on a jet and get to New Zealand,
right?
You know, while the bombs are in the
Unless
air.
Unless you're a really strong swimmer,
really
maybe
strong.
That's what the deal is.
So anyway, he's making a fortune off of these bunkers over there. Pretty fascinating stuff.
It's amazing too how the left has all of a sudden gotten on board with the Armageddon stuff. It used to be that if you believed in that scenario, you were some kind of kook and a conspiracy theorist, but they're all buying in now for
That's
some
right.
reason.
I think The Walking Dead kind of changed the
It might be The Walking Dead.
We got to start digging up some of Glenn's chalkboard talks and talk, I mean, because according to Glenn, the world's ended 12 times already. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. I used to watch that stuff and it scared the shit out of me. I'd be saying, come on from there's a timestamp at 1327.
Thank you.
I'd sit there and watch Glenn on CNN and I was like, oh my God, we're all dead. Let's talk about real stuff that's a problem here. Do you think Trump should apologize for these recent tweets?
No, because it doesn't do any good anyway.
Yeah.
They'll just continue to bludgeon him if he does apologize. And what people like about him is that he's not apologetic about this stuff.
Yeah.
He sticks up for himself and for the country and lets the chips fall where they may. I think it's unfortunate that he said that they should go back to where they came from.
Right.
I don't even think that was a racial comment.
I don't know. I agree.
You know,
there might be a hint of xenophobia in it. In that regard, it could be interpreted,
right.
But it's not racism.
But as soon as he tweeted it, you knew what they were going to do with it.
Sure.
And so you just get tired of that. The constant. I mean, they hate him with a passion that is so bizarre to me. I was not a big Trump fan during the campaign.
Nor was I.
To say the least.
Right.
But the hatred that the left has for him now is so unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure where it comes from. A lot of what Trump believes, they believe. Mm-hmm. Trump is not even that conservative,
right,
really, when it comes down to it. But and what is interesting to me is I think that if they treated him well, they might actually get some of their agenda through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he responds really well to people who say good things about him and like him.
That's a true, fair point. I mean, it's amazing to me. Like, first of all, I'm so thankful that Donald Trump doesn't drink alcohol. Can you imagine a drunk Trump tweeting from the toilet at 3 a.m.? I mean, can you imagine a drunk Trump? That would be just, you talk about Armageddon. It would just be horrible.
Yeah.
The coffee is nothing compared to what we see on that deal. But it's amazing to me that Trump, that personality profile has just got to be off the charts, because here's a guy who can stand up to the mainstream media, doesn't care about political correctness. He can take the blows, take the blows, take the blows. But if he's so soft-skinned, if somebody points at one little thing, he's going to respond.
Yeah.
He's going to counterpunch. He's going to come back.
And conversely, you say nice things about him, he's going to like you.
Yeah.
I can't share that story. I was about to share one story that I just can't share, but there's a really good incident I know of where there was somebody who was very much opposed to him during the campaign and then has said good things about him since. And now receives phone calls from him from time to time, is in conversations with him now. Whereas before, he was a loser. He was a deadbeat.
Yeah.
All of those things. So you can it's change his mind quickly.
Yeah. It's okay, Keith. Just tell the president why I said hello. Okay.
I mean, it's cool having the president's ear. I'm not going to lie.
Look, I mean, I got no problem. I got a key to the White House, whatever. That was Chad. Wave him on through. No, it's an amazing thing to watch. And I don't understand why they hate him so much. At first I thought, well, here's a guy, because I agree with you. I think he's a left of center moderate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, I was like, what secrets does this guy have on all these Hollywood people? First of all, in all of these Manhattanites and these Wall Street people, like what dirt does he have that these people hate him so much that they just wish he was dead versus, you know, that was my thing. I was like, what does this guy know for them to hate him so much?
Right.
And that was the thing. So anyway, you know, it's interesting to me, this past week we had AOC calls Nancy Pelosi a racist, and then he defends Nancy Pelosi, which to me is like master level troll.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do? Yeah. What is she going to do? Well, then to come out and says Trump does the tweets, which I'm looking at and I'm like, well, just sit back and let them devour themselves. Right. Like, why get into this?
Yep.
Right.
And so he gets in there and he tweets, puts his attention back on him. Now he's the racist. And Pelosi's condemning him as a racist. She's on the floor wanting his. Can you imagine Thomas Jefferson looking into the floor of the House of Representatives today and them talking about, we want to condemn the president's tweets?
Yeah. That's a thought I have all the time. What would Jefferson be thinking about this? Exactly. Seriously.
I mean, it's ludicrous. The verbiage that these people are talking about. It's so, I mean, they're having parliamentary Jefferson manual discussions over a tweet.
Yeah.
And so it's funny. So then he's the racist. And then that sort of settles down again. And was it Tlaib that came out yesterday, day before, something like that? And now she's back to calling Pelosi a racist again. I'm like, you guys, it's a circular firing squad.
It's amazing. And you know, it wasn't that long ago that if you referred to the president of the United States as a racist, you yourself were a racist,
right,
which is what happened to Glenn in 2009 when he was on Fox and Friends one morning and they were talking about Obama. And he made the mention that he was concerned that Obama had some kind of distaste for white people or that he might be a racist. And he was asking these questions. Well, all hell broke loose. And ever since then, they've been bashing him with that he once called the president a racist, so they labeled him as a racist. Well, now Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, is calling the president a racist, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
It's a double standard that we just have to deal with, but it's really frustrating.
I wish that we could, we won't. I mean, they're like, what? Okay, so you have presidential candidates on the left who are trying to run under things like reparations and this kind of idiocy. Mm-hmm. Which, again, these crazy ideas just prove that Donald Trump's not that far right. That's how far left they have to go in order to make him look far right.
Right.
So they're doing these idiotic things like reparations. So my thing is, okay, you guys have tossed this racism word around so much that it's lost all meaning. Mm-hmm. It's a shame because there is real, legitimate discrimination and racism that exists in the world, not institutionally in America, mm-hmm. but there's organizations and there's individuals. Sure. There's idiots everywhere.
Absolutely.
So you're taken away from the real thing. But, you know, at what point in time, okay, so let's say we give African Americans reparations. Does that mean Jesse Jackson and those guys are just going to retire? Because they got what they want now? Like, okay, well, you satisfied us. You know, is mm-hmm. Al Sharpton going to just say, oh, our work here is done?
Wait, this may be
somehow
worth it.
No, I don't think so. No. Yeah, I don't think so.
And so my philosophy is if you're in a place where you can't give people enough, you've already given them too much already.
Yeah.
And that's the situation that we're in. And so these guys are promising everything. What did you think about the Democrat? Did you even watch them, the Democrat debates?
The debates? I watched the first night. The second night, I was in the hospital doing surgery.
But I knew it was right around that time.
Yeah, the first night was a fiasco. Yeah. They were both nights were a fiasco. I just it's really tough for me to watch them. I can only listen to their nonsense once, and so usually I wait till it's on the show and then I can react to it there because it's just so mind-numbing what they.
Yeah.
The Marxism that comes out, spills out of their faces, the class warfare that is continually there, the hysteria over climate change, which mm-hmm. has been going on since the world began. It's hard to take for me. And so that was difficult to get through. The debates were tough.
I'm trying to figure out how therapists are going to treat people with Trump derangement syndrome when they have the syndrome themselves. This is the world we're living in.
Yeah.
You know, there are studies out there that talk about people who say Donald Trump is messing up their sex lives.
Jeez.
Wow.
If the president has that kind of effect on you, uh-huh. something's wrong in your life.
You're looking at the really wrong side of that.
Yeah. Let me tell you, if you're having Melania. Sex and Donald Trump's on your mind, this is very problematic.
Really wrong.
I understand your mind
if
might drift in places,
sex,
but no.
And Donald Trump's on your mind, you're probably not having sex.
Okay. Trump.
I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. So, sorry, I've had a little too much to drink.
Attaboy. Are you mixing and matching over there?
Yeah, I've had Solo and I've had them combined, and I'll tell you this right here, this Texas Rangers blended whiskey 1823. Yeah. I have a new soulmate.
Really, so, you like it, huh?
I do. Thank you.
Yeah,
it's
that's good. That's some piss.
Can I take this
right
home,
there,
you
buddy?
Mind?
You enjoy that, Keith?
That's, I love it. So that's how you lured him in. You just promised alcohol, huh? Nice.
Yeah, nice.
We're simpatico. We're simpatico. People don't, you know, we have people who watch this show all the time and they'll say, I think Chad's been drinking a little too much for this one. I'm like, Dr. Pepper, you don't know what's in the cup. It's still whiskey. I mean, I can play this game all day long. You know, I can deflect, but no. So how in the world, you did, because you were doing, when you were in Houston, you were doing what, morning drive time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that? I mean, because you were still... Again, I go back to the phenomenon of morning radio. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what, you're up at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yep.
And you're in there rocking and rolling on that thing?
Yeah.
And you got to be creative every day?
That's the plan, but I don't know it works out that way. But yes.
That's when I'm going to bed.
Ideally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, to get in there and do out, because Pat Gray Unleashed now is what, about an hour 40? Hour and a half?
No, it's 2 hours live. And then, so. On radio, on Blaze Radio and TV, so it's 2 hours, and then
I guess because you got the breaks,
it's an hour 40, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense because I always look at it under the app on the Blaze app. But the does that? I mean, how I say it, but then I do it too. I mean, I run my mouth mm-hmm. nonstop, and mm-hmm. but I look at others and I'm like fascinated because you actually say something.
I don't know about that, but I think the time it's the most difficult is after the show when people want to talk about everything I talked about during the show, and I've already kind of had my say and I'm already tired of it, and then they want to talk about Donald Trump or Nancy Pelosi, or then it's somewhat hard.
Yeah.
You know, because you just want to get away with it after, get away from it after a while.
Yeah. But you have a huge following. I mean, you have a huge response to your show. So all you Pat heads out there need to also be Chad heads.
And absolutely. Yeah.
We'll share. We'll share.
Well, we're going to have you back on my show. And when? Do we know when, Keith?
I don't know.
Do we know when that's coming
Candace,
up?
I don't know, Candace. Do we know when?
We were, we were talking about
working on it.
We're working on it, yeah, because you had some god-awful offer at like 7:45 in the morning.
Well, that's what time the show is.
No, I know. That's the problem.
We're asking you to get up.
Are y'all missing? Are y'all missing my rhetoric about morning radio?
One time we're asking for.
I'm kind of getting the theme now, yeah.
Come on. No, I'd be honored. I want to come. I want to come. I want to be on the show. Never mind. Jokes hit my head. I can't start screaming. I don't want to come. I want to come.
What's the timestamp?
Without qualifying 25-35. That. Sorry, Pat.
You're obviously not thinking about Trump right now.
It just in a space of 60 seconds, I won and lost all the Pat heads right there. Just that fast. My apologies. Unlike I'm not apologizing, but it's funny, man, because we've I never in a million years would have thought that I would be here connected with you guys. And, you know, because there were certain shows that back years ago when I was doing nothing but just doing viral videos and stuff, and I had an online presence, that I would come on certain shows over here. So it's mm-hmm. a huge deal for me. I mean, I know, I just love it. I love the team here. I love the...
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great. It's way better than having a real job.
You got that right.
Know? Amen.
Especially in Texas when the real job could be outside in 110 degrees. And it beats that for sure.
But, you know, whenever CRTV and The Blaze merged together, I thought it was a great union. And, of course, obviously, there were a lot of people who, you know, it sparked them, you know, and they were like, oh, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But this is a great family of producers and creatives and talent and voices, and it's a great place, just a good conglomerate. I mean, we got rid of Andrew Heaton because we don't want liberals around, so that's nice. That's fantastic. You don't have to timestamp that. Heaton knows he's a liberal.
Heaton is a liberal. I loved it when he claimed to be a libertarian.
Yeah, my sweet country ass.
What's the name?
You're like a socialist libertarian? Okay. Yeah, I'm a big government libertarian.
I'm an expansive anarchist libertarian.
Yeah.
I don't believe in God, but I'd take a gay pill if they had one just to try it. Just to try it. These are words that literally came out of Andrew Heaton's mouth sitting right there in that chair. He's like, I've never been gay, but I would take a pill just to try it.
On the next episode of Humor Me.
Timestamp.
Nice.
Heaton's actually on the recent episode of the Humor Me show, too. We sat down and talked about a lot of good stuff. I love Heaton.
He's a good guy.
And we always had a blast. And we're going to have him back in here plenty, but if he'll come... after the way he was abused, but no, we always had a blast debating because we can do it in good humor,
yeah,
and have a great time, and I enjoy that. But no, it's a good team here. I look at social media like we were talking about, and I'm like, if we don't come together and get our heads out of the sand and really form a community and a group of voices that are common sense, we're in trouble.
Oh, absolutely. I think as far as social media goes, as far as the direction of the country goes, if we don't come together and if we don't support each other, which is, you know, the reason Glenn created this company and has been trying for a lot of years to bring everybody together and fight together instead of kind of being at each other's throats. Mm-hmm. Because we all want the same thing. We all want to save the Constitution and the country from the left. So we're going to have to come together. And I think there's a couple ways to do that as far as social media. One is we've got to encourage our senators and congresspeople to take away the protections that social media platforms have. Mm-hmm. Because they're silencing the right, and under their agreement with the government, they can't do that. and still be a platform. They should be relabeled as publishers so that they can be held accountable for what is transpiring on their platform.
Right.
If that happens, they would have to be non-biased. Because if they lose that classification as a platform, they're done as a company.
Yeah.
It would drive them out of business. So we can either put pressure on our representatives, or we can all get together as conservatives and get off social media. There's two alternatives, really, to have any kind of impact in this battle.
Yeah. They had the social media summit at the White House where they brought in various influencers from social media. And a lot of my friends were there, and I was with David Harris Jr. yesterday and asked him. He was there. He said, well, we had a few of us had a private meeting with the administration, and he said that one of the things that Trump said, he said, I do have some secret weapons that are there if they don't conform to this and get rid of this bias. Now, is that hot air? Do we know?
Might be that he's talking about calling them publishers instead of platforms.
Yeah.
That makes a big difference to them.
Yeah.
Because then they're held accountable for the things that happen on Twitter and Facebook, and they could be sued out of existence, literally sued out of existence.
Yeah, just burn the whole thing.
It would almost certainly happen, too. So they know they're done if that happens. And so Trump does have that Trump card, so to speak. So they were at the media summit that Trump just had?
Yeah. Yeah, I was a little jealous I wasn't there.
Yeah, I wasn't.
They say they're going to have some more. So
are they?
Yeah, they say he's going to have some more of those.
Good.
Which I think is good. I don't think anybody
in this building was
no one
was invited.
Wasn't invited. Graham wasn't invited. Glenn wasn't invited. You weren't there. What the hell's going on? Come on, Trump.
Didn't invite Mr. Twitter?
Can you believe it?
That's odd.
Now the next drinking.
So when Jack Dorsey was up at Congress, he referred to Twitter as a public square multiple times.
Right.
But yet, why am I constantly seeing this tweet is unavailable?
Yeah.
Right.
And it's repetitive all the way down the thing.
Exactly.
And, just in the last week, I had a video removed from Facebook because I was calling out Antifa. Portland, Oregon thing with Andy Ngo. And so
they
took it down. It was up for about 20 hours and they pulled it down. And then I had another.
If somebody took on PragerU,
right,
would they be pulled down? They wouldn't.
Not at all.
Absolutely
exactly.
not. Exactly. Absolutely not.
And look how much PragerU's been either deplatformed or demonetized with the things they've done.
But if
it was reversed, you're exactly right.
For a while, I think they lost, do you remember this statistic, Keith? Didn't they lose 98% of their traffic at one point? Was that PragerU? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, it was a high number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 98%. I think they got some of that resolved.
You had to be able to search for something in order to find it. You couldn't just find it on their channel.
Yeah. At one point, they shut them down that badly.
So I have the graphs and the analytics printed off to prove it, but from 2018, January 27th, 2018, was the day that they kind of turned the switch on being able to drive traffic. And so I was seeing, mypoliticalcowboy.com was seeing about 750,000 visitors a day. Mm-hmm. Which is substantial
for a nobody blogger.
I mean, it was really, really good. And immediately overnight, it went down to about 3,500 a day. So we lost.
Wow.
We lost 750,000. And all the traffic, of course, is driven there through Facebook and Twitter. So, boom, it was done. Now we're having a good day if we have 50,000 visitors. But we're not getting above that.
That is crazy.
Yeah, they totally pulled the plug on it. So, we're at a place now where I daily get messages saying, man, we miss what you were on Facebook.
They just think you left?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we miss when you were on Facebook. We wish you would still do this or hey, are you still around? Oh, I forgot you. Yeah, now we're trying to sell tickets to live shows and do those things. We used to put a thing up there and it was sold out within a matter of hours. Mm-hmm. Now people are like, man, why won't you come to our town? Well, we were just there last night.
Jeez.
So,
and the problem is, we used to say, well, Facebook's a private business. They can do whatever they want.
Right.
Well, no, not when they've got this agreement with the government. That as long as they're non-biased, they're considered a platform.
Yeah.
So when you look at it the right way and it's still a conservative way to view it, there are things we can do, and it is not right what's going on at Facebook and Twitter and Google.
Do you feel like there's still a future for terrestrial radio and linear television, or no?
Not terrestrial radio.
Yeah.
Especially talk radio is really in dire straits right now. So, you know, they've been predicting the end of radio since the invention of television, and it's never happened. And I've seen it happen with, you know, they said television was going to drive radio out. They said FM radio was going to kill AM radio.
Well, as long as there's Mexicans.
Right.
Tweet that time out, stamp. Candace.
Yeah. Thank
you. That's 3511. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but it looks like this is the real thing this time because there's just too many other.
I mean, I've got every automobile, you know, I should be getting like a fleet plan now with XM radio. I've got all these automobiles and they've all got satellite radio, and I'm always listening to, you know, one talk or the other, because it's always talk. And I mean, the only time I'm ever on AM talk is when I don't have that option.
That's the thing.
In a rental car or something.
Why would you? Yeah. You know, you'll listen to it in a podcast form, on your app, or you'll listen to music on Pandora or XM. Seriously, I think it's going away. Yeah. The terrestrial signals.
Yeah, I think it is. What about television? You think doing like because you know, Blaze TV is distributed on linear television as well. It's doing that, and I don't know numbers. I don't know if people are, if they're picking it more up on, you know, kind of behind the paywall and subscription services, or if they're still, I mean obviously they're watching it if they've got that cable provider, satellite provider.
Yeah,
but I don't know what the future of that is.
Yeah, I mean, that's changing a lot too. And we all know what people are watching now. I almost never, unless it's the NFL Network, I don't watch.
Right.
What are you going to watch on broadcast TV?
I don't watch it unless I'm watching sports.
I haven't watched a local channel probably since before we moved to Dallas, which was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and Netflix and Amazon have just completely changed the game.
Yeah.
You know, if you can have it available without commercials, you're going to.
My wife's spoiled rotten. So we just started a show the other day on because we've got the Apple box, right? So everything we watch is on that OTT deal. So we're, you know, we got it all. And so, but she spoiled rotten because we started watching this show on AMC, The Sun, the one with Pierce Brosnan about the South Texas oil cattle baron and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it has commercials.
Oh.
And she was pissed.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be too.
Right. She said, you're spoiled.
I'd be pissed too.
They're like after every scene, boom, now we're into 80 seconds, 90 seconds of commercials. So,
is there a way to upgrade so you can get rid of that?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. We ain't watching that show no more.
Right.
Kids these days have no concept of what a commercial break is.
No. So people get pissed off whenever I do a video, or like say I'm doing a 3-minute video with my dog in the truck or whatever, and it the 1-minute mark, it's going to throw it to a 12-second commercial, and people are like, we're not watching you anymore. You're putting commercials in your deal.
You mind if I make a couple of dollars on this?
Yeah. Do you realize how many years I did this social media thing without making a dime?
Wow,
I built an empire for free. You're welcome, America.
Uh-huh. As the purveyor of content, you want the commercials.
Yeah.
As a consumer of content, not so much.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I have that double standard built into me for some reason.
Let me ask you this, because Glenn's talked to me about this a little bit. What do you think is... How do you create red meat? How do you keep a fan base coming back, or people, the listeners? How do you do that? I mean, is it to be cutting edge? Is it to be? Do you have to keep promising the world's going to end? You know what I mean?
I don't think so. No, I think you just continue to be yourself, I think one of the things that I liked I like about my show, and I liked about Glenn's show when I was on it, we just tell you what we really believe.
Yeah.
And even when it cost us listeners during the campaign in 2015 and 16, we told you what we believed.
Yeah.
Because it was disingenuous to do anything else.
Yeah.
I don't think people want to be lied to. And I think in the end, there's benefit in that. And I think people will appreciate that in the long run.
I agree with you. And I told Glenn, face to face, I said, I'll tell you, Glenn, you know, you always have people to say, well, I'll have people say to me, like, well, I agree with most of what you say. And of course, never, you know, you know, well, nobody agrees 100% with anybody else.
Right.
So I don't feel the need to ever tell somebody, well, I, you know, we do have some disagreements. Well, no joke. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But I told Glenn, I said, I've never listened to you and not learned something. I've always learned something from Glenn. I've always learned something listening to you. I've always learned something when I listen to Stu. Jeffy, not so much.
How about me? Do you learn anything from me at all?
Jeffy, when you listen
to insert yourself, Keith. Look, if he ain't bringing you to the house, there's a problem.
That's funny.
When you listen to Jeffy, it's kind of a cautionary tale.
It really is.
You learn what not to do. And so...
Everybody plays their role.
Yeah. Everybody has a role.
I know, man. Jeffy, I love that dude. I was telling you guys in the hallway the other day. I said I just randomly ran across that picture of Glenn and Jeffy from way back in the day, and you know it's little skinny Jeffy, and I was like, is that Jeffy? And I looked, and I saw the crooked tooth, and I was like, yeah, that's Jeffy.
That's great.
Y'all should pay him more.
Yeah.
Wait, they pay him at all?
I don't think. I think he just keeps showing up. I think Jeffy got fired in 13, and he's just doesn't have anywhere else to go.
I think you're right.
Oh, God bless Jeffy Fisher.
Yeah.
Chewing the fat with Jeffy. Oh, man, that's funny. We got to go. I appreciate you, man. I really do. And I appreciate you coming over and just shooting the bull a little bit. But you guys, if you're not listening to or watching Pat Gray Unleashed, you need to be doing that every morning. And the beautiful thing is, if you subscribe to Blaze TV, you can watch anytime you want to watch it. And that's without commercial interruption. How about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we're talking about commercial interruption. Yeah. What do you think the deal is, Keith? You think we have a future here in America? I mean, are you aligning yourself with the squad?
Am I aligning myself with the squad?
Like, who's this? Ayanna Pressley? Who's that? I mean, like, where'd she come from?
July 4th is the first time I heard of her.
Yeah,
because I was like, mocking the Declaration of Independence.
We were in here doing the thing about the squad, and I was trying to, I knew there were four, and I was like, okay, AOC, Tlaib, and Omar, and
and Pressley.
And then I was like, well, who's the fourth one? And even Candace goes, well, is there a fourth one? I was like, there's a fourth one. Because they had to add another color chip to the deal, right? Mm-hmm. They had to, like, we got dark and we got light, and we need a real dark. And so you got to put, like, you can't spout racism without having all the palette represented.
Yeah.
I'm like, where'd they trot her out from? You know, this is
you're right. Ludicrous. I didn't know her either.
Yeah.
When I first heard her name, I thought, is that Elvis's ex-wife? And it turns out, no, it wasn't Elvis's ex-wife.
Different spelling.
Yeah.
Different spelling.
Yeah, a little different. Yeah. So.
And I ain't saying that Elvis didn't run that route, but, you know. I mean, you know, but I'm just saying. Keith, it's ludicrous, right? I mean, you have all these freshman congresswomen.
What?
You have all these freshman congresswomen that are running the world now.
Yeah, I think this is as maddening as it is to hear them speak.
Yeah.
It's actually, I think, going to get Trump reelected.
I agree.
And it might even give the House of Representatives back over to the GOP. They have gone so far left.
That'd be great.
I think this blue wave might actually be a blessing. Yeah. It actually could work out in the favor of conservatives.
That's actually been Glenn's theory lately, is that we're coming up to a tipping point where they've gone so far, it's going to tip and go the other way.
Yeah.
I hope that's accurate, because if any of these Democrats are elected president, that could spell our doom.
Really? Seriously.
I just don't think we can elect any of these socialists ever again. We need to stay away from the Democrat Party, because it's not the Democrat Party anymore.
Right.
It's a party of socialism.
I've said it over and over again that if Trump loses this election, we may not see another Republican president for a long, long time.
Long time.
Because it's going to fundamentally change.
Yep.
It's going to give Obama exactly what he wanted. It's fundamentally changing
America.
They
would finish it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, you just have to hope, because you're right. They call themselves democratic socialists, but that's just because they're afraid to call themselves what they are in public. And that's Marxist. I mean, they are Marxists.
Yes.
And that's where we're headed.
Well, Lenin called himself a democratic socialist.
Right. Right.
That's where they got the term.
And I always say, I'm not worried about feeling the burn. It's the afterburn. Because once you get past a Bernie Sanders and you've established this system, because you've got a Lenin, and then you have a Stalin, which gets really ugly.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, yeah. That's where we are.
Yep.
That's where we are. It's the next guy down the road that's going to take you in the back alley.
It's chilling.
Shoot you in the back of the
head. And again, that's why we have to band together and make sure it doesn't happen.
Yeah. All right. We get out of here. Go to watchchad.com. Find me out on the road. Come see me. Listen to or watch Pat Gray Unleash. You can get all the wisdom from both Pat and from Keith, too. From Keith. Wisdom. Let him come over to the house, Pat.
Wisdom.
If there were just roads.
I mean, it's just, I would have you over, but.
It's the infrastructure problem in America.
Gotta get that bill to pass, huh?
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Vote for Trump. Anyway, I love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. For Party Foul, Steve, Keith, and Pat, and, of course, the puppet master himself over here in Candice, the queen of Ethiopians. We love y'all. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye.